All right, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. I've entitled this message, God's Word of Contempt, Conviction, and Promise. God's Word of Contempt. Contempt for sin. Contempt for religion without Christ. God's conviction. How God convinces man, convicts man of sin, and the promise of salvation to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by way of introduction, I want you to remember that there are at least seven things here in this text that the Holy Spirit has recorded for us that are confirmed throughout the Word of God. And we studied the first nine verses the last time we were together, that I was here present with you. And the first thing we see in verses 2 through 8 is the doctrine of God concerning the total depravity of man. God speaking here to Judah here represents all men as we are by nature. In verse 2, he says, they have rebelled against me. They've rebelled against me. This is how men by nature, we have rebelled against God. Verse 3 tells us of our ignorance. He says, the ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Man by nature is ignorant of God and His righteousness and goes about to establish his own righteousness, which is foolishness. In verse 4, we see that we are laden with sin. It says, a nation of people laden with iniquity. Man by nature is laden with iniquity so that he cannot escape the condemnation of God. He's gone backwards. Man's religion is backwards. It always works from man to God instead of true religion that works from God to man. And because of this, we know in verse 5 that man, no matter how much God strickens him, no matter how much pain God inflicts upon man, it only stirs evil in man. He says, Why should you be stricken anymore? What will happen? You will revolt. That's what happens when judgment comes upon men, is they revolt. Now, why is all of this? Why have we rebelled? Why are we ignorant? Why are we laden with sin? Why do we revolt? Verse 6, because from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head there is no soundness, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound nor mollified with ointment. God says we are as a leper. That's the analogy here. Man by nature is as a leper. He is corrupt with no sound flesh in him. There is no goodness in man. He is covered with the leprosy of sin, and as a leper was outcast from the worship and service of God. Even so, man by nature is cast out. Look what he says. He says, your country is desolate. Man by nature is desolate. He cannot give himself life. He is dead in sins. In verse 8, it says, as Zion left as a cottage in a village, as lodged in a garden of cucumbers, and as a besieged city. Even God's elect among the sons of men are as an old wasted cottage in the middle of a desolate field of cucumbers. Nothing. There's nothing. There's no life, even in God's elect. But here's hope. Verse 9, the second thing we saw is this. God's sovereign election. The doctrine of God's sovereign election. In verse 9 it says, except the Lord of hosts had left a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom. We would have been like unto Gomorrah. We all have sinned in Adam. We all have trespassed against God and are dead in trespasses and sins. What does this mean? It means we cannot save ourselves, but God gives us a light of hope. Here's the light of hope. Sovereign election. All man would have been as Sodom and Gomorrah. How was Sodom and Gomorrah? They were wicked, they were evil, and they were destroyed. We would all have been destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah had God not made an exception except the Lord of hosts had left us a small remnant. This is the light, divine light of the gospel. That God left a remnant by sovereign election. That God chose a people before the foundation of the world and gave them to Christ. And purposed that Christ should save them. That they should be accepted. And this election was not only sovereign, it was unconditional. For the children not yet being born, neither having done good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. For Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Election is unconditional. It's not based on anything but the love of God. The grace of God. And we know this, that this election is immutable. Because God's love that was set on that remnant is immutable. Is immutable. Now we have four things this morning. Four more things I believe we can learn from this passage the Holy Spirit has given us. And I'm going to give you these four things. First of all, the means by which God reveals these things. The means by which God reveals this message to men. The second thing is the contempt of God for the works of men. The contempt of God for the works of men. The third thing is the conviction. How does God convict men of their ruin and the uselessness of their religion? How does God do that? And the fourth thing is the promise of eternal life. A call to reason. A call to reason. God says that in verse 18. Come now, let us reason together. Those are my four points this morning. And so we're going to begin with God's means of communication. How does God convey the word to man? Look at verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord. You rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Now who's speaking here? It's Isaiah. Isaiah is speaking to the nation of Judah, and he is saying this. You children of Sodom and Gomorrah, you listen and you hear the word of God. It was Isaiah speaking, but in truth, it was the word of God. It was the word of God. God does not directly speak to men, but only speaks through His chosen vessels. Those men that He has called to convey His word. It's always been this way. You know, I was looking this and said, God did speak to the whole nation of Israel one time. Where was that? Sinai. You remember God spoke to them, and what did they say? Don't let Him talk anymore. We can't bear to hear Him. And you know what God said? He said, they've well spoken. No man by nature is able to bear the voice of God except through one God gives to speak. The people heard Isaiah, but in truth, they were hearing the word of God. Therefore, Isaiah was sent of God. He was given a heart for the glory of God and a heart for the souls of men. And so it is. He spoke with such plainness. He did not ad-lib. He did not add to the word of God, but simply spoke exactly what God said. He said, hear, not my word, hear the word of the Lord. Even so, God continues to speak through His chosen men. Through men He has called into the ministry, put into the ministry. And He gives them the same heart He gave Isaiah for the glory of God and the souls of men. We speak the word of God, and this is the only means by which the gospel of God is effectual to the hearts of men. You remember what Paul said to the church of Corinth? He said this, Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, baptism is important. The Lord willing, next week, there's some people in Harrisburg that have confessed the Lord and want to confess Him in believer's baptism. Baptism's important. If you believe on Christ, you should be baptized as He commanded. But Paul said, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Foolishness. But unto us, which are saved, what is it? It is the power of God. He goes on in verse 21 in that same chapter to say, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This is the means. This is the chosen means God has ordained by which to convey His word to men. There is no other means. No matter how much men want there to be other means, God says, this is the way I communicate with you. You remember what happened to the sons of Korah that kicked against that? God chose Moses. God chose Aaron to convey His word. And the sons of Korah said, well, hey, we're just as good as you. No doubt. Moses said, hey, look, I got it. Yeah, let's just do this. Let God choose. And you know what happened to them? They were swallowed up. This is the means God has chosen. Today, I'm speaking to you and I want to speak to you only through the Word of God, only by the Word of God. I don't want to take from this word. I don't want to add to this word. I want to tell you what God says. There is no other thing to do. I wouldn't be here if I didn't want to tell you exactly what God says. This is what God's men do. And our message is to the same people Isaiah wrote to. Look what he said. Now, these were religious people. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't speaking to wicked people as well, but listen. These were mostly religious people. Look what he calls them. He said, you rulers of Sodom, give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. These religious rulers he was preaching to, and he called them Sodomites. Why? Because religion without Christ is just as good as Sodom and Gomorrah. It's nothing better. Today I'm speaking to professing religious people, those who profess to believe on Christ, but claim to be justified, sanctified, or made righteous by some religious action or ceremony. You are as Sodom and Gomorrah. All who believe in such free will works religion, you are as vile as Sodom and likened to Gomorrah. This is the word of God we preach, that the best works and most orthodox, devout people in the world, apart from faith in Christ Jesus alone, you are just as unacceptable in the sight of God as those that practice homosexuality or murder. This is because no man by nature has any personal righteousness. Isn't that what he said in the first eight verses? The first eight verses, he went over that with you. He said you are without righteousness. He said from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head is what? No soundness in you. There's nothing in us by nature. In Isaiah 64, you know he says this, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And because of this, no man has any ability to be righteous by his will or works. Listen, you determined to do good. Determined! Put your mind to it. Put your will to it. You know what? You will fail. Because this is our nature. No man can by nature can be righteous. He said, can the Ethiopian change his skin? And he said, then you who do evil, that's what it's going to take for you to do good. It's impossible for you to do good. This is because all sinful men can do is corrupted by sin. All we do is corrupted, defiled. See, that's what the leper illustrated. The leper in the Old Testament, if he touched anything, it became unclean. This is what it is true spiritually. All that we touch, no matter how good it is contaminated and becomes useless. You know, the Lord illustrated this in Exodus chapter 28 when He said He said upon Aaron's forehead that Aaron shall bear the iniquity of the holy things. Iniquity of holy things. What is He talking about? All that tabernacle, all that those instruments God ordained because man was performing the rituals, man was performing the ceremony, they were contaminated and needed a sacrifice to cover the sins of our holy things. Even though God ordained those things and set aside for His worship because they were given and offered by sinful men, they themselves were defiled. This shows us that the best efforts of religious deeds of men, even those things ordained of God, are mixed and defiled by sin. See, God commanded men to be baptized. But listen, if you're putting your trust in your baptism, who did that? Both of them were men. We've contaminated. It's not able to save, even though it was ordained of God. This is what we preach. That man is altogether at his best state, what? Vanity. You be the best you can be. And the best you can be is vanity. The best you can be is vanity. All we do is sin. All we think is sin. All we feel is sin. It's not just what we do, but sin is who we are. Therefore, what? All our offerings, and this is what God's going to go into now, all our offerings, all our sacrifices, by nature are contemptible to God. Except Jesus Christ, our High Priest, make an offering for our holy things, they're unacceptable. And so then we preach this. The only way a man could be made righteous is the same way he was made a sinner. How was man made a sinner? Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. It says, even so by the disobedience of one many were made sinners. Listen, so by the obedience of one, the disobedience of one many were made sinners. By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Who is that? That is our message. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The only acceptable offering for sin is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It is only by Jesus Christ can sinners be made acceptable to God. Only by Him. Therefore, we preach this, hear ye the Word of God. That's the Word of God. Oh, if you don't hear anything else, hear that. Hear that. Hear that. Hear the Word of God. What does God say about sin, righteousness, and judgment? What does God say about salvation? He says this, salvation's of the Lord. You that would be saved by deeds and works of the flesh, I'm talking to you this morning. If you want to be saved by something you do, I'm talking to you. Hear the Word of God, you children of Sodom. Hear the Word of God. Hear the law of God, you people of Gomorrah. I tell you this, you've got to forget your traditions, forget your creeds. There's no way you can be saved by your obedience. None whatsoever. Therefore, I preach this, that no flesh is justified by the law in any part in any part. You can't be justified by your obedience in any part. The only way we're justified is through faith in Jesus Christ. All who are justified, made righteous by Jesus Christ through faith, will live by faith in Him alone and will never, ever look to ourselves. We never look to our righteousness. We never look to our deeds. Why is it then that we look to Christ? Because of the second point. All religious works apart from faith in Christ are contemptible in the nostrils of God. Look what God said. Hear the word of God. What is this word? Verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Saith the Lord. I am full of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Now friends, all sin is offensive. All sin is worthy of eternal damnation. All sin. Wages of sin is what? Death. Death. All sin is death. We know this, that some sins are greater than others. Some sins, murder is a great crime against God. We know adultery is vile in the sight of God. We know that homosexuality is an abomination unto our God. We know this. These are sins that are vile and contemptible. And it's sad that the philosophy of our day and the laws of our land defend such crimes. Isn't this why the judgment of God is coming to this nation? It is. Make no mistake, the judgment of God is already here. It's not coming, it's already here. To defend such base acts of homosexuality and murder of unborn children. What kind of society does that? What kind of evil people do that? They murder their own unborn children. They defend homosexuality and adultery. You know what that reminds you of? Sodom and Gomorrah. This is why they were killed. And though homosexuality, adultery, and murder are great sins and bring the judgment of God upon a nation, they yet are not the greatest contempt in the eyes of God. That is not the greatest sin in the eyes of God. The most abominable stench in the nostrils of God is this: legal, self-righteous works religion. Religion is the most contemptible. Religion is the most contemptible. Works religion. Also, what I mean by that, I mean this. Any form of religion that teaches that man's acceptance with God in any way depends or is conditional upon man. That's what I mean by that. Any religion that bases salvation in any part upon the works or will of man is contemptible. It is worse than homosexuality and murder of unborn children. All salvation that begins with an act of man's free will. All justification that depends upon man's sacrifices and ceremonies. All sanctification that depends not upon God, upon Christ, but upon their own personal obedience to the law. All who preach that our preservation depends upon our personal holiness. All who teach that rewards in heaven depend upon good works or the practice of legal self-righteous religion. Anyone who teaches these things is contemptible in the sight of God. And this is the point of the message. That all religion that depends upon man in any part for salvation is an offense. An offense unto God. Look at their text. See what they're doing here. They're not out committing homosexuality. They're not out murdering people. What are they doing? They're trying to obey the law. They're offering sacrifices. They're doing what God commanded them to do. And what does God say about their sacrifices? He says this. Why are you sacrificing? I'm full of these burnt offerings of rams and beasts. I don't delight in their blood. And when you come to appear before me, who's required what you're doing? That you should tread on my courts. I don't believe I can overemphasize or stress that enough, that God holds legal, self-righteous, free will, works religion in utter contempt. These Jews were orthodox. These sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were following an outward ordinances of the law to the letter. What was wrong with what they were doing? Listen, they did it not by faith in Christ. They did it not in faith looking to Christ. These men were looking at what they were doing and not what these things pictured. They thought they were being accepted based on their outward exercise of religion. How many people believe that today? That if they do this and stop doing this, if they go to church, if they get baptized, if they come and shake the preacher's hand, if they become more faithful in their church, that's going to make them acceptable. God says, no, you are as Sodom and like unto Gomorrah. I will not accept your obedience and outward offerings except through faith in Christ. They built all their hopes of eternal life on their own zeal and religious works. And for that, God was angry. In our text, God testifies that He rejected their offerings. Their offerings were vain. It was empty. Might as well not have done them. He said, why are you even coming? What is the purpose of these multitude of these sacrifices? You mean sacrifices they made? You mean lambs and rams and he-goats they offered Him? And He said, what's the point? The reason they were rejected is because they trusted the sacrifices themselves instead of what they pictured, Jesus Christ. So when they offered the Lamb, what were they supposed to see? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's what John said. Behold, the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. He's what all those lambs pictured. When they offered it on top of that brazen altar, we know this. They trusted the altar. They trusted their sacrifices. Christ is the altar. Paul said that. He said, we have an altar whereof they're not able to come. They have no part. You remember the great day of atonement? Those two goats, the scapegoat and the offering, those pictured Christ. The strong man that bore away the scapegoat pictured Christ. The high priest that slew the goat pictured Christ. The blood that He took pictured His blood. The mercy seat on which He sprinkled it pictured Christ. They should have been looking by faith instead of looking at what they were doing. Our Lord Jesus Christ, Scripture says this, He is the propitiation for our sins. He is the propitiation for our sins. Because they trusted their own works and refused to trust the blood of Christ, God refused them. I tell you, any man that thinks his obedience in any way is meritorious before God, your faith is vain. Your religion is vain, and you are lost. Men think highly of religion, don't they? They think highly. They see a man dressed up in robes and they just say, oh, look at that pious man. No. If he's trusting in his works, he's just as good as the sodomite down the street. He said this, behold all your incense. Look at that. The next day he said, bring no more vain oblations. Stop bringing them. Listen, if you're going to church to be saved, stop going to church. You know, if that's how you think salvation is based on you going to church, then just quit. It's vain. It's empty. If you think by your obedience and doing good and building houses for the homeless and feeding the poor somehow merits you favor with God, stop it. God says, stop. Don't bring those sacrifices anymore. They're contemptible. Incense are an abomination unto me, your new moons and your Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies. I cannot away with it. Iniquity, even solemn meetings, the new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are trouble unto me. I am weary of them to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. What is this? Any man who brings his works in the stead of faith in Christ, you listen, he is guilty of the blood of the Son of God. God says, I hate it. Men love religion, but religion without Christ is useless. Even if it's ordained. Listen, you may have all the right doctrines. You know, you may have all the right doctrines in your head. You may have this systematic theology down to a T. But listen, if that's what you're trusting in, away with it. Away with it. You must have Christ or you have nothing. You must have Christ or you have nothing. Oh, that men would hear the word of God because they are full of sin. Because all we are full of sin, all our works and religious deeds are full of sin. Are full of sin. They are vain because they are not seen to be accomplished by Jesus Christ alone. The reason we do not seek to be justified, sanctified, or made righteous by the law is because of this. Christ already did it. Anyone who is saved by the grace of God understands this. There is therefore now what? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For what the law could not do when it was weak to the flesh, God sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. Why? That the law of God might be fulfilled in us. You see, salvation is something done by Christ alone. Faith simply receives what has already been done. And those who receive it are accepted. This morning we are worshiping. And our worship, listen to this, it's acceptable. I mean, can you imagine that? That's astounding, isn't it? Because I know our minds have not all been in this. We've not been so absorbed with the love and mercy of God and the grace of God and the power of God and the glory of God. Our minds have wondered how many times. And yet God says, acceptable. Why? Because it's not what you've done. It's what He's done that made it acceptable. Makes it acceptable. Okay, now in seeing that man is full of sin, seeing his works is in no way acceptable, what then is the hope? Conviction. Conviction. Verses 16 and 17, God displays His means of conviction. Look what He says. Here's the remedy. You realize you're a sinner. You realize that your works are abomination to God. Here's the remedy. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Listen to this. cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. He gives you a remedy. Go ahead. If you want to be saved, listen to this. Go wash yourself. Then, after you wash yourself, listen to this. Stop doing evil. In those two things, God displays the impossibility of self-salvation. What are you going to wash yourself in? What works do you have? What sacrifices and blood have you offered that's acceptable for washing? God says, go and wash yourselves. And then, stop sinning. Be holy, even as I am holy. Listen, even if it were possible for this moment you to stop sinning, if it were possible, it's not. You know it's not. You're even sinning as you're thinking about not sinning. I tell you not to sin, what's the first thing you do? You think of what sin is, you've already sinned. So it's impossible, but if it were possible, from right now on, that you stop and you be holy, what are you going to do with all your sins that are past? How can you wash away your sins? How? In order to be accepted of God, you must be purged from all your sins, wash you and make yourself clean. Listen, if any man's claimed to have done this, he's a liar. You cannot wash yourself. I know people think this. Well, I was baptized. I don't care. Since when does an earthly thing put away spiritual sin? That's what religion's all about. They say, here's a cross. Now then, make the sign of the cross and I'll throw some water on you and you'll be clean. What is all that? They're taking physical things trying to get a spiritual result. They can't do it. It's impossible. You can't wash yourself. You can be baptized 1,000 times and never take away sin. Without the shedding of what? Blood. There's no remission of sin. Water won't cleanse you. The law can't cleanse you. It can only condemn you. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. The law can't help you, friend, in this. This is the conviction of God. Hear ye the law of God, you children of Sodom and Gomorrah. What does the law say? Be ye holy, even as I am holy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Now go do that. And then what Jesus said, that lawyer said, he said, what must I do to be saved? He said, you know law, go do it. Go do it. Impossible. Have you seen this? Have you seen this? I'm here to tell you this. The only hope of salvation and acceptance is this, that someone else do it for you. Someone else needs to provide the sacrifice with which you can be washed. Someone must give you the power to be washed. And someone must give you righteousness to clothe your nakedness before God. Someone must do this. Now you listen. There's only one who's done this. That is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the only one who has provided an offering wherewith you may be able to wash. What offering is that? It is not water, it's His blood. It's His blood. He alone has made the only acceptable sacrifice. Over in Isaiah 43 and verse 24 it says, Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast Thou filled me with fat of the thy sacrifices. But Thou hast made me to serve with Thy sins, and hast wearied me with Thine iniquities. Listen, I am he that blotteth out thy transgression. Why? For mine own sake, I will not remember thy sin. You see, this is Christ speaking. He said, I was made to bear your sin. When Christ came into the world as a man, He honored the law of God as a man, as a substitute, as a representative. And as a great high priest, He made one offering to God. And by that offering, the Scripture says, He hath obtained eternal redemption. So by the blood offering of Christ, for all the sins of His elect, they are forever washed, forever blotted out. And by His righteousness, He now, that righteousness that He made, He now gives. You see, we were all born as Sodom and Gomorrah. We were all like any other man. Had nothing to offer. Our righteousness, our religion was vain. Just like everyone else. But Christ made a righteousness for us, and in time He comes and He gives this. But first, He must convict you of the vanity of your religion. I know, I've talked with men, and they say, well, you know, preacher, I understand what you're saying, and I can't disprove it. What you're saying is true about God's sovereign election, about Jesus Christ's perfect atonement. But, you know, I'm just going to keep going to this place over here. No, you won't let go. You're still holding to your works. This is what God says to you who are convicted. If God has convicted you this morning, listen, what this is the promise of God. Look at verse 18. God says this to you who are convicted. You cannot wash yourself. You cannot make yourself holy. Behold Christ! Behold Christ! He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Can you reason this morning that your sins are as scarlet? Can you reason this morning that all your works are vanity? You know who gave you such ability to reason? God. If God this morning is convicting you of your sin, listen, God says, come now to me. And let's reason together. This is not an invitation. People think it is. It's an invitation. It's not. It's a command. It's a command. When God says, come now, you know what He means? It means come now. Come now. And this reason is not earthly. It's very spiritual. It's a reason based on a covenant of eternal grace. Here's some reasoning for you. You can do nothing to be accepted. Here's some reasoning. Christ has done everything so that you may be accepted. Oh, your sins be as scarlet. What does He promise? What does He promise? Oh, your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Clean. White. Everyone who believes on Christ alone is washed. Everyone who believes on Christ alone is clothed in the righteousness of God. Verse 19, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Are you... No, people get this confused. We're not saying man doesn't have a will, it's just not free. But I'll tell you this. If you be willing, God has never cast away one who is willing. You know why? Because He makes you willing. That reason of your conviction and the reasoning of Christ being all is of God. It's not a work of will. It's not a work of man. It's a work of God. Are you willing this morning? I am. I am. I see the reasoning. I have nothing. Christ is everything. I believe on Him. I trust Him. and you shall eat of the fat of the land. In other words, you're able to understand this book. You're able to eat. If you see all this book as Christ, you're able to eat. Come and eat. Eat. Fill yourself with fatness. But God promises this, if you refuse, if you rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. How does God convey His Word? Through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does He convey? Total depravity of man. The uselessness of your religion. When God saves a man, what does He do? He convinces him of sin, that he has no hope in himself, and God, by spiritual reasoning and understanding, He makes a man willing to trust Christ alone. Have you trusted Christ? I say this, you're a fool if you haven't. If you still want to cling to something you've done, God says your works are worse than sodomy. But, this is my promise, He says you shall be as white as wool. If you trust Christ, all your sins will be gone. I will remember them no more. I pray God will bless this to you.